The show is about to begin.
Hang in there, it is.
That's Smiley Kaufman for 61. Wow.
Featuring Smiley Kaufman.
If you were at a local IHOP at a PGA Tour event, you might see Hideki Matsuyama.
Yeah. Put it up in the stance, strengthen the grip.
His co-host, Charlie Hume.
We've now picked five of the last eight winners on the PGA Tour.
Oh, it's going to hole. Please go to hole. Please go to hole. Please go to hole.
Yes, sir.
And the biggest names in golf.
That's a great question. Can I talk about it?
I don't think I'm ready.
How good does it get, SK?
Why not us, Troy?
Today, live from the Pinecrest Inn, it's the Smiley Show. So long, everybody. This is the Smiley Show.
All right, happy to welcome in Hunter Mahan, six-time PGA Tour winner. Hunter, where did the beard go? It was, you know, it was very prevalent on social media the last couple of times I've seen it. Now it's a little trimmed up. I mean, what was the whole vibe with the beard lately? I loved it.
Yeah, I know. I've had it for quite a while. I felt like it made me a little meaner, a little tougher. but it was time. It was pretty white. And so it was funny trimming it up and cleaning myself up a little bit. It's so white, right? It's so gray. It's funny. It's just like all of a sudden I feel like I've age myself when I look at older pictures and stuff, but that's good. I feel good, so I'll take the feeling good versus the, you know, the looking good and feeling bad.
Well, I've seen on social media, it sounds like you're going to be making a comeback. Love to see it. So Hunter, let's just kind of dive into it a little bit. What's life been like? What's been the reason for picking up the clubs again? Is just the itch back? Is the game sharp? How are you feeling?
Yeah, it's been, it's been a great time sort of at home, sort of, I would call it like a reset, right? I mean, it's a lot, as you know, it's a grind out on tour, and it's kind of a weird thing to say, and it sounds very cliche, but it's not just the practicing and playing and sort of that anxiety and adrenaline every week. It's the physicalness of moving from place to place, it's kind of leaving your family, bringing your family, all of it. It takes a lot of effort and energy. And for me, I was tapped out, right? I was at zero. And so wanted to come home and I wanted to enjoy my life because what I was doing was not, I wasn't really able to enjoy any part of it because I was putting so much effort and it was such a struggle at the time. And it sort of just was, I just was sort of spinning in circles at the time. So it was a perfect time to just sort of step away and enjoy my success in a way and just be at home with the family and the kids. To be a dad and a husband at home and sort of wake up in the same bed every day is something that I really enjoyed. But I got to say, like getting away, and I've done a little commentating and just different things still a part of the game that I've really, really enjoyed. I coach at Liberty Christian here in Orgau and where my kids go to school. And coaching the high school kids is an incredible amount of fun. It's very rewarding. We won state last year, which was great.
Congrats.
Thank you. It was a lot of fun. The kid, you know, like anything, the kids do all the work, but it was great to see their growth and because we felt like we could win. We had the team to do it. And to see them sort of overcome and succeed like that was really fun. And the reality is that I can be a better coach by playing a little bit more. And I haven't had the itch or like desire to go play and hit balls, but I have had it in the last few months and I've literally been documenting it. Literally, I played in February at an outing in TPC San Antonio, and I played I played it back to back. I think it was on a Wednesday, and I played a Tuesday and Wednesday, and then I put the clubs up for another 3 months, right? So I haven't put days back and back, back to back like I have the last probably 5 weeks or so. I just literally put a camera behind me and talked about what I was feeling and what I was doing. And the response has been so great in such a positive way because you just don't know, right? Fans they're fickle, right? They kind of come and go. And so, but I've had so much great, the comments have been great. The feedback has been so positive, like literally 99% positive. And so we just kind of been doing it and keep doing it and keep doing it. And I'm going to update my clubs and all this stuff. And so, with the Primo stuff, Grant Horvat saw it and was like, hey, we'd love to send you some stuff and be a part of the return. And I'm just sort of enjoying it and just getting back into the fold in any way I can. And golf's at a cool place, but where you can do a lot of different things in a lot of different places, which is kind of fun.
You know, I got to go back to the coaching because that interests me so much. I'm just trying to picture the other coaches on the other teams and then looking over and then they see PGA Tour, six-time PGA Tour winner, Hunter Mahan coaching a team. And you got this guy who's a coach who's like, well, I don't know what I'm going to tell these guys that's going to help compared to what Hunter's telling their coaches. What have the coaches come up to you being like, hey, man, just want to introduce myself, big fan.
Yeah, well, for sure. We get a lot of that, which is a lot of fun. I mean, it's, like I said, I didn't know if I would enjoy it, would I be good at it? Would I be able to communicate mm-hmm. to the kids well? Would we be able to resonate with them? And would we, you know, being a coach and player, would I be able to get to the level and so they can understand me and I can understand them? And how are we going to do this? And I talked to, you know, Jason Witten was the football coach here.
Yeah.
At the same school. And so I met him through Roma years and years ago.
So there was a coaching staff y'all got there.
Exactly. So there's some sort of familiarity with him. And, right. and I think, and we talked and he gave me some great advice. Cause we both had the same feelings of, how are we going to do this in terms of, you know, we're not going to put our expectations on the kids, but how can we make, you know, sort of our programs worthwhile? How can we get better? How can we make all the kids, say a kid who's wants to play D1 to a kid who's just trying to get better, who just mm-hmm. quit baseball, right? How can we mm-hmm. get the experience for everyone to be positive, till they get better, till they understand what I'm trying to say, and how can we do our very, very best in a high school setting when there's a lot of distractions and the kids, sure. you're not getting AJGA stars, right? Who are like, you're not wondering where they are that day. You know, they're practicing. So it's just such an interesting dynamic, but I really enjoyed it. And I've been good at it too, right? And I'm allowed to say that I feel like I really communicate with the kids well, and they understand how much, they understand when I say, I know what you're feeling, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, it's no matter if you're a pro or not, you have felt those things on the course that those high school kids are feeling. And so mm-hmm. we can talk about that and there's no judgment. It's just, I'm trying to pull the communication out of them so we can have a good direct conversation and like, let's figure out how to get better.
And you and I both stepped away from the game right around the same time. 2021 was the last year you played. 2022 was my last start. Now, you experienced much higher highs than I did, but we both experienced lows along the way, the trunk slams, the anxiety of playing when you're not feeling your best and how frustrating that can be physically and mentally. But like you're talking about, getting back into coaching, and for me, even getting into broadcasting and yourself doing some broadcasting work, isn't it just great to have that just that lift above you being like, I can still pour back into this game and it doesn't have to be with the golf ball going into the hole?
Well, there's a lot of mediums for golf and professional golf. And there's a lot of, I really enjoyed the perspective of commentating like you have, because you're mm-hmm. excellent at it and you want to keep doing it.
Thank you.
And I've liked doing the Ryder Cups and the feature groups at majors and stuff. Because you're allowed to, I feel like I'm allowed to root for those guys and be impressed and be a fan. And mm-hmm. when I was playing, there was envy really took over for me at a lot of different times. And that was not good for my soul. And that was, you know, that was just not a way to live, right? Like it became too much at times. And it was a good time for me to obviously step away, because I just wasn't able to play golf as a kid and just be competitive with everyone else. It got to where I was trying way, way too hard, right? And that happens. That happens when you feel like there's a lot on the line. And I could feel that, and I knew it wasn't good. I wasn't just like the person that I really wanted sure. to be on and off the course. I couldn't turn it off the way I wanted to. And so, you know, because you want to play, you want to pour your heart and soul into it. And then you want to leave it there, and then you want to move on and be a husband and be a dad and enjoy yeah. those times. And when you can't, boy, there's that bleed over that's not good and it's not healthy, right? And so that's what I experienced. And I knew it was time to step away, like I said, because I wasn't enjoying any part of what I was doing in any part of my life. So now I get to do a lot of enjoyment, and now I'm getting back into the game where I'm enjoying it, right? And so
I feel that it's very, very yeah. relatable from my standpoint. I feel like I'm playing some pretty good golf now. You know, when yeah. I had finished playing, I was lost, technically was in a terrible place. I had tried just about every single, I don't know if swing theory is the right way, but I went to so many coaches that to try to fix what I felt was a mechanical problem. But it just kept leading into more performance anxiety of what do I have when I show up and what am I going to go to? And it just every day turned out to be a new feel where it was just, you know, spinning the wheels. And that's my next question for you is that when I think of Hunter Mahan and just that consistency, the high level consistency that you had for so many years, and then you turn the page to where you really started struggling around 2015. And in those years, what do you feel like was the big thing that kind of got off in your mind when you look back now, technically, because I just think of that consistent ball striking. Was there any injuries or was there something that you chased? Was it distance? Anything that you've been able to reflect on?
I think I was chasing, could have been part of it. I was chasing sort of perfection in a way. Excellent. I was chasing like to be really, really consistent and putting a lot of sort of stress on myself. I think that was something that was maybe the genesis of it. Mm-hmm. And I don't know technically what, you know, I've sort of thought about where I got lost at times and I'm not totally sure where, like if it was, we were doing something and it wasn't quite working or, you know, where Sean and I sort of left,
was there a certain shot that just kept bothering you, like to where you just was like, gosh, I got to get this out of the game, or a shot that you were chasing?
Well, I definitely wasn't trying to hit a certain shot. I was pretty comfortable. The hard part is when I swung, it was very much I wasn't really trying to do too much. I knew that I was very good at not hitting it left. Mm-hmm. I would hit it really straight with it just fall left, and then or it was kind of like a weak right shot, right? Mm-hmm. And so I was trying to get a little bit of the weak and be a little bit more, had a little more compression on the ball. Mm-hmm. And I think the only thing that's like I might have started to sway a little bit, started to move too much through the shot, and I was really much a turner, meaning like I would.
Oh, get you were to the super top. Rotational, man! It was awesome.
Off the right foot, right? Yeah, and I remember Randy Smith was like. Years and years prior to that was like he took me to like he didn't take me he took a video to like a PGA professional sort of summit and talked about my swing, and I had a pretty good bent arm. I had a lot of side tilt and mm-hmm. a lot of rotation through the shot, right? And so and that was sort of my DNA. It was rotational and around, so it wasn't like great with wedges. It wasn't like that was the swing for everyone. But it was great on driver, and it was great. And I was a great mid iron player, right? Wedges, mm-hmm. you'd like to be a little steeper.
Yep.
And so, but I was super consistent through, you know, basically about 140 and above, really consistent, very, very straight, great with a driver. I can just wake up in the morning and hit a drive, right? And that's, and so that's just one of my gifts that I had. And so I think I was maybe chasing some sort of different things, and some things that became the cure became the cancer at time. But okay. It's sort of hard to tell because a lot of it too is like you eventually just it's hard to compete when you're just in a lot of different places, right? When you're 25 years old and you're just playing golf every day and it's easy and you're athletic and you are who you are in a way and you just go play and you just have to compete at that time. It's a lot easier. And so I'm definitely I hate to say like reinventing myself, but I know a lot of things now more than I did mm-hmm. as a kid. And so I'm just rediscovering some things. And I love how like played, you know, the last few days and really liked how I was hitting it and like the compression. And I understood why, you know? And so, you know, any young player that has questions about their swing, it's like, you know, the only thing they should do is figure out what they're really good at.
Right.
In terms of their swing. And understand that that's who you are, and then you make adjustments around that. You know, you don't. You that's know, it's like advice. Jackson Coivin's got a really. People were talking about it, like he's got too much of this or too much of that. It's like I don't know. It's pretty darn good. He does so many really good things. You're like it's hard to look at that and be like, you know, you want to change this or do that. It's like he does. He gets away from the ball so well. He's outside in the club. There's just so much. There's so many good things in that thing. It's any young player is like, find your DNA, find who you are, and understand that part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then leave everything else to somebody else, but make sure you hold that tight and don't let anybody touch it.
Well, I've enjoyed watching the journey on social media, and I've actually screen grabbed about three videos that we're going to look at today, Hunter. And the first video, if Charlie can pull it up, is the one of you kind of explaining what you were working on in your golf swing. And I was sitting there just kind of studying it as I do with most Instagram videos to see how it could relate to my swing and how it could potentially help me. But kind of just walk us through this video. If you can recall, it was more about your takeaway and just kind of what you're trying to feel and really what you're trying not to feel too in the downswing.
Yeah. So, I mean, I really liked, I was looking at my swing as one does from like a video probably 2 weeks beforehand. I really didn't like, I felt like I was dragging the handle inside. So right there, I like putting something, you've seen guys put towels on their both arms.
Yeah.
I like feeling something just in my left arm. So I can feel like my right arm is staying above it. So I'm getting more outside, right? It's a little bit more club and right arm lifting it up. And because I'm a pretty good turner, so I'm going to go out and then get into my right hip. So I don't get
your depth.
Into
you get
it
your
early.
Depth later.
Yes. It's a late, because I'm going to go back there. I'm not worried about that. So I got to make sure I get my arms and my right arm kind of above it and don't get
staying
it
more
too
in front of you.
Too fast. Yeah. Yeah, so it gets so that's what I'm kind of working on. Then from there, I want to feel like I'm coming more inside. So it looks more out to in is my feel.
Yeah.
But the reality is it's going to look more like up and down
because
it was looking a little, my hand path was looking in to out. And so I wanted my hand path to be out to in, which is my feel. But what I'm really working on like now, and this is, you can see, I'm trying to really get the club face more shut.
I saw that in another video that you were kind of explaining.
Yeah. And that helps get my arm down like automatically. And then all of a sudden my path is better and my path is just a little bit more to the left, but my start line, I have better club face control. So this is part of the process, right? This is my feel, right? I don't feel like I'm teaching anybody. I'm just telling them this is what I do. And this
I can relate to it though. No, it's like, I know it's your feels, but here's something that I can kind of speak to. And what I learned from this is that kind of what you just described in the downswing, I've kind of fought and toyed with the idea of width. I always played my best, Hunter, on tour when I felt like my right arm was basically just lengthening in the downswing the entire time. Like I can think of countless years where I had this feel trying to get the club face looking at the ball earlier. I would kind of tilt the shaft, but my right arm would be getting wide. It'd be having level shoulders coming through. And then I sit here watching that video of you, Hunter, and that feel you're kind of describing. And it reminds me of a player like Ludwig Åberg does the same thing. Like he is getting his right arm down and he's getting the face looking at the golf ball soon. And it's a good lesson for, I think, anybody who, has those right misses that it can't square the face up. We're kind of in this age of like, kind of get this narrow, get the club to shallow, but really it's like, man, get the bat on the ball is not a bad idea.
Yeah, that shallowing myth is one of those weird things. I don't know where it came from. I don't know if it feels like a miscommunication from like Justin Rose when Justin Rose was telling people, I see it all the time, and he's like, he feels like the club is way from the inside. But what they miss on is that his arm and his hands are in his back, they're in his pocket. They're in his right pocket. That's as he's doing that. And so that's why communication between coaches to the player is very, very important, because a coach can say something and the player can interpret it in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's very, very important where people understand when he's talking about, he's putting his arms in his right pocket right next to his knee.
Yeah.
And then as he turns, the club whips around, but that's his feel, right? Like that's his, he's like, he would always get the tip of the head out early, and then he'd have to use his body to kind of square it up and hold on for dear life, right? That's his DNA when he does it well, right? So when he does it wrong. And so he's telling you, this is what I feel. And so people take that and run with it, right? And so, but you see it mostly, and what I feel is if the more I get it out and then I turn and go, the club is going to naturally sort of do it, right? And so, that's what I feel in sort of what
I love it, man. I don't think I'm ever get that hip turn in the in my hands back there. So I get worried when I take it outside. And so my natural instinct is to kind of, if anything, drag it in because I want to get that early hand up because I'm worried about my hips turning and then getting the depth late. So I'm always just kind of looking for where's my middle ground here to be turned and neutral at the spot to where I can feel like I'm in a place where I can go and send it in the downswing.
Yeah, you always want, you know, Cameron Young is a good example of that. I talked to his dad at the PGA and watched him hit a little bit. And he was like, I just was talking to him about, boy, it always seems like Cam is just, he has his setup and he's always just maintaining that setup through his backswing and everything, right? And just, it always looks like he's trying to get right back to it, which is the feel I love. I love that visual and understanding of like, here's my setup, you know, AKA impact, right? Like we don't want them to be too different looking from one picture to another, right? The hips are going to go because there's power and all that stuff. But the more I can feel like that setup and just returning it down, and he does an incredible job. He's got an insane amount of width and it's just so much. It's so
width
athletic. That's what I love
width
about
is
it.
Good folks. I can't stress it enough. Narrow is bad. Width is good. So, all right. And you mentioned what Randy Smith kind of talked about, like your goods in your golf swing of why you drove the ball well, why you middle ironed it well, that right side bend. And I was just thinking about, okay, that also isn't necessarily great for pitching, right? Like those would be kind of things that might work against each other. Would you be more on the too shallow side if you would kind of describe your like issues, whether you're either too steep or too shallow if you struggle chipping. I would imagine that would be too shallow, correct?
A million percent, yeah.
Yeah. And so we got this video here. If you can click pause on this for just a second so I can set this up here, Charlie. I got a great laugh of you and Parker McLaughlin, of course, the short game chef. You had that funny video back and forth, basically apologizing to the short game chef that not that you cheated on him by any ways and going to see somebody else, but you end up going to see the short game wizard and Stan Utley. And I have watched these videos now pretty much the entire evening getting ready for this interview, not only just to kind of learn what you're working on, but I was like taking notes of like, okay, these are all amazing things, not only for me, but so many golfers out there, which is why it's engaged so well on social media. People are like, oh, wait, this is really great stuff. Talk about this lesson. We got a couple of videos we're going to look at here.
Yeah, so it's there's a lot to this that's funny because of Parker and I do a show, Feel versus Real, and
love that name.
It's great. Parker had a great when Parker and I were talking about doing this, I reached out to him. We talked a lot about literally Feel versus Real and the golf swing, and everyone talks about that all the time, right? I feel this, but the reality is I do this. So. Mm-hmm. So we do it. So you can go check it out on YouTube at Short Game Chef. And we're working on build it up to be like the Smiley Kaufman show. But
yeah, no, please do. Yeah. We're going to go check it out. Subscribe, the whole deal.
Yeah. So, and so this is funny. So I had a friend, say, hey, you should, I was in town and he's like, Stan's, you should go see Stan, you know, and he watched me hit balls. And he's like, hey, you just got to figure out chipping and you'll be fine. You know how to hit it. And he was right in terms of, chipping is something that's very like ball striking. I feel like I can visually see it and figure it out by watching enough videos and all that stuff. Short game is not an innate thing to me. It's not like I don't, you know, watching Parker hit chips is like, it looks like he was born to do it. Watching Justin Thomas hit pitches is like the most beautiful thing in the world. It's like watching a symphony play, right? It just, you can tell he can sense it. He senses where everything is. And so it's a little different for me, and it's because I'm just like, when I do it, I'm like, I have no idea where the club is. I don't really have any idea what I'm doing. It's just not, I'm just not
trying to make good contact.
Literally, I'm just trying to hit one shot and then figure it out from there. And so Stan was there, and at this time, I saw Stan a few years ago, and this is, you know, you would understand this. I was not in a place to listen. I was just was like, I was there just to be nice, right? I just wasn't there. I was just like trying to be nice, and I was like, okay. I saw Stan years and years ago, and Stan at that time was much more under, and he was much more kind of handsy and under the plane and just get way around it. And I couldn't do it. I was like, I don't know, Stan, I can't really do this that well. So we parted ways. And so he's evolved and changed a lot in his sort of his technique and his approach. And so And to in this lesson, and when I showed up, I was much more interested because I had a lot more questions, and I was just like curious on what he was going to say, and if I was going to push back, because sometimes when I was younger, I would just listen and be like, I'll take any advice. I'll listen. I don't want to push back and seem rude or whatever. And this time I was like, okay, that felt good, but why did I do this? Why are you asking that? Why? And I was more curious. And so during this is I was very shut on the backswing. Okay. Hands were a little outside, and then I would get scoopy. So I had a hard time hitting the ground. Not spinning it. I was thin. Everything was just bare. I couldn't get down to the ball. The leading edge was not getting down on the ball. And I wasn't, and basically what I wasn't doing, I wasn't rotating my forearm, and I wasn't getting the face down. So everything was this, and then I was doing a lot of this thing on my right side, right?
Got it on my notes. Got it on my note sheet right here. I mean, it's he says forearms square it up and turns it down, and standing up creates the speed. And the other part too, he said, is, and I want you to kind of explain this. He said the head, the club head being in the wrist, are back. And he said you want to lag those. And I had to stand up and start kind of feeling that. Because you know how we get as golfers. You're like, okay, wait, wait, what do you mean lag that? We're pitching.
Yeah. he would say, keep your thumbs back as you do it, right? And so what he was saying was get the club. So thumbs back. So using your forearms to get it more down.
Yeah.
Not going like this to get it down. So I'm going to come down like this. And then my lower body is going to kind of come up and go through it. And it's like, once I did it a few times, this is sort of like, and this isn't even like the low ones. That is, when you keep your kind of thumbs back and you kind of drive it and stand up, and then you start really driving it, and it's really nice. Like the feel, like when I started to do it, I was like, oh boy, I haven't felt like that in a really long time. So I was hitting these low spinners that weren't like pitch shots, but they were chip shots, and they were coming out really low. But at the same time, I was hitting them hard, but they were like slow because they had so much spin.
Ooh, see, I love that. You know who spins it the most around the greens on the PGA Tour of guys that I watch? I'm curious if you're going to come up with the right answer here.
Are you talking about pitch shot, like chip pitches, or
just like if you're in the fairway grass and you kind of need to spin one, like around the greens.
Well, Jason Day is really good. Justin Thomas, I've watched a lot.
Yeah, he can really do it. The guy I'm thinking of is actually Scottie Scheffler, man. He can put the absolute brakes on a golf ball, and it blows me away every time I watch him.
And it's usually dry. He does not hit it very high. It's like everything feels like a driving pitch, and so he's pretty vertical. And to me, he's got a lot of he's got a lot of wrist and not. It's not wrist, right? I love the term forearm. Through the shot, right? And he's really hitting down on that ball.
He stands tall. He has wider feet than anybody. So he's got this super stable base. He gets it like very steep on the way back, and he's a leading edge pitcher, and he's catching, as Stan says, the third groove. It's just absolutely, this ball is firing. And we had Keith Mitchell on too, because I was asking him about, you know, like a guy like Scottie Scheffler, who's got a high VSP that's going to, spin the ever living crap out of the golf ball. I was like, how is he supposed to chip it over a bunker? Like, I watch him do it, but it sounds like in my brain, if I go get behind a bunker and do all those things, I feel like I'm just not going to be able to hit one up in the air. I'm going to like want to start backing up to get it up. But these, and Keith started talking about just margin of error. It's like, if you know you can hit your spot, like that's more important than anything on tour.
Yeah.
And like Scotty's very, very good at managing that. At times, like he will take his medicine. I never really see him just go for the mega flop. He just knows how to be able to get enough spin on the golf ball to give himself the next putt if he's out of position. But I just was curious your thoughts on just that style of pitching. Like if now, like for you, would you be able to go behind a bunker and feel comfortable with what you learned from Stan and feel like your landing spot is a little bit more managed and that you can get a little bit more spin on it?
For sure. We've had a few lessons, and as you know, like when you work with somebody, I think my initial lesson was really good with him. Like, oh my gosh, I'm able to hit the ball and feel like, okay, this is chipping. Next one was a little not so good in terms of the feels were a little, they weren't as easy, and I had a lot more questions, and I wanted to hit it high and wanted to hit it low. So it was like a little bit of a, it was a little bit of a fight, right? And for myself, not between him and I, but it was like,
he how did he say to hit it high?
So it's just a little bit of the same way. We're going to change our hand position. It's going to be a little bit more, the hands are going to be a little further back. We're going to have a little, it's not a bow in that wrist, but it's going to be, you know, whatever that term is, they call flexion or whatever. But it's like, my hands are going to be back and I'm just going to keep it there. And so, so a lot of it was, and then our third lesson was really good where I feel like I'm just being able to do it the whole time. And for me, for like I said, he's going to say a lot of the things that he knows, and then I'm going to have to, I'm going to have to put that into my brain and figure out what's the right word for me. I'm going to have to interpret that. So he's going to say his things, and I'm going to have to interpret what they mean to me, and then we'll get on the same page. So when he says something, I'm going to say, okay, you mean this, and then I'm going to do this, and we're going to be like, he's going to say, yes, that's correct. Right. And so, because there's, he can see it and he knows it, but I have got to listen, interpret, and then spit out into my own sort of language. And so, for the most important thing for me is like, if you look at the shaft, that shaft angle, the shaft angle has to feel like it stays inside the ball. My shaft angle will get over the ball and I'm under, and then I've got to dip to get back down to it.
Shaft angle, so meaning like, are you talking about in your downswing?
Like,
if there was
like
a
VSP,
on,
like the VSP, the vertical swing has got to be really steep. Mine would get really, it would get like tilted this way, right? And so it'd start going from, say it's 70, and then it's going this way, more of a driver. So it's getting like to 50, and then to get back down to the ball, I've got a side bend, right? And then I've got to get down to it. And so I feel really steep with the shaft, but my face is moving a lot, meaning it's just opening and closing. What I feel like is way opening. It's very Stricker. Stricker uses a lot of forearm.
Yep.
He doesn't use a lot of hands, but his forearms are rotating like crazy. That's when he can hit a pitch shot, and it looks like he's barely swinging, but he kind of takes a little bit bigger swing, ton of forearm rotation, and it puts a lot of spin on the ball, right? But it takes a few lessons to really grasp the concept and understand it. And I got another thing is my arms have to be soft. I got my very Sevi. Sevi is like here and here. And it's like, and that's really, really important for me on the chipping because the softness of the arms helps the forearms move. And then I feel steeper. And then all of a sudden I can
sequencing too out of the top, you know, like that club head's probably going to be kicking a little bit earlier versus like being pulled like it would in a general golf swing where it's ground up. It's like, it's a game of opposites with pitching. And so you kind of have to calibrate yourself to get that rhythm and tempo Sevi-like, if you will. That's a great shout there. Charlie, will you pull up that face on one more time? I think there's one more lesson I think the folks watching this can take away. As I think Charlie and I were talking about this before we got on, Hunter, one of the real cool tips I thought he gave was at the follow through. He said, I want you to have level eyes. And I thought that was such a great visual to try to have your head. And what you see there is like, look how your chest and your body is through the shot. And there's no like stick in the ground. You're not hung back. I think that's just a great lesson for anybody with pitching.
Yeah, I'm really working hard on getting even my right hip a little bit
high, you know, right? Like high, yeah, like high and through it.
A little bit more through it, a little bit more active. So I was always getting too far left. And then what Parker and I talked about, the TPI guys, Greg Rose said, if you start too far left, then you've got nowhere to go. So the only place is to kind of go back. So if you get Justin Thomas is very like he stands there very neutral, but then he kind of it's not a sway, but you can tell his body is helping through the shot. It's not a turn. It's just a little bit of a he gets through the shot and creates that nice sort of contact to get over there. And I was getting a little bit too far left then going backwards because I had nowhere to go. So like you said, I'm trying to keep my chest between my arms the whole time and not let my arms drag through and then let this get in front of me. I really want my arms to really stay in the middle of me just like that to where my hands are right close to me, very Sevi, and my chest is almost leading the shot. I wish I was a little bit more tilted into the shot to where my chest was almost in front of my arms, right? Mm-hmm. And so this is good contact, but this will I'm going to work on getting it even better. But like you said, it's tall through the shot. We're good. Keith Mitchell, I saw him say, you know, we never want to go down on chips. You're going up through that shot. And for amateurs, if you take anything away, make sure you're coming up through the chip, because going down is death.
That's what Keith said on this show. You're
yeah. I mean, it's so true. It's so true. And if you could just feel like your right arm sort of behind you, like it was, and everything's sort of the energy's behind it, and then it's just sort of coasting through it, man, it really, it, like I said, great teachers will get you hitting it or chipping it better immediately. It's just going to be the consistency down the line is going to sort of be up to you and you guys working, but you should leave better than you found it, right?
Isn't it funny though, like how, like, you're trying to get your right hip like through it and higher, but like when I think of like your golf swing when it was at its best, all I think is about that right side of how good it was covering the golf ball.
Right exactly. That's the I, like I said, I was a special turner and everyone loved how I got through the ball. When I joined the tour, it was like, oh, VJ was like, I love watching you hit the balls. He's like, I love it. And I was like, okay. You know, my eyes were that big going like, I don't know what you see is so special. I think you're pretty good too. I you know, but people, they loved my low exit because they knew that I had no hands. There was no saving it. Most guys were kind of taller and, you know, kind of having to use their hands through the shot.
That's because why you never hit it left.
Yeah, exactly. And that was sort of my DNA, but that was really my gift as well, to be able to kind of get low left through the shot and never have anything high. Because if you have really going up through it like that, left is in play big time.
You know, the last thing I'll say before we bring Charlie in, something that you just said, it was about how you feel like if you get too far left, and I guess this was what you learned from Greg Rose at TPI, that you have to go back. And it just got me thinking about, you know, you know why you were probably going that way is because instinctively you knew that you were underneath it and that you had to find a way to get steep. So you're thinking, well, how am I going to get steep? Well, I can do it by going this way on the way back, try to get steep just with just leaning my body that way. But what are you going to do from there? You got nowhere to go. And so that's when you're talking about going this way, it's like, it's probably because of just the action that you created from just a overall momentum standpoint, correct?
100%. If you're already there, you can't go anymore. And so I want to be on my left side and feel like I'm coming down, because I know that'd be a steepener. But if I'm already there, and then while I'm trying to create it, I got all these shallowers, it's hard to, and you're trying to hit it low. It's just like, and you're trying to hit it high. It's like,
golf, you know, man.
Technique's one thing, but then the shot's a whole nother, right? Now I've got to hit it a certain distance and a certain height and a certain spin.
Yep.
And so it's scary. It's like, you know, you and I know, it's like when you out there and play, and every amateur knows, when you know you don't have that shot that course is telling you to hit, it's a very scary occurrence.
That's right. Charlie, hop in here, Charlie. And you know what helps in all this, Dr. Holm, is a couple beers. All that's going to help a lot of this, you know, like just the indecision of being able to just confidently pull the trigger when you got that into the grain Bermuda lie.
It doesn't hurt. I'd say that much. I'd also say I've never been more upset to join an interview, because I'm just over here. I've got the wedge out. I'm just
working on it.
I'm working on everything. I just, it's a real,
how good was that, Charlie? Like I'm
going to beg both of you publicly here. We must do this again. And this is one of the cool, I just love the back and forth theory. Just you two nerding out. This is exactly what I love the most about this show. So, and I will say too, Hunter, that I was laughing when Smiley texted me, we were trying to book a guest. He said, what about Hunter Mahan? I said, buddy, I've been in short game purgatory for like 3 months, and then one of your reels popped up on my Instagram, and I'm fixed. Like all the stuff we were just watching, I'm all the way back. So thank you.
He says that every week, Hunter. But
well, yes, yeah.
We are.
That's every golfer says that. Oh, I'm cured. I'm fixed now.
That's right.
I tell my wife if I birdie the 18th hole, and I'll come home and I'll tell my wife, it's like, Fran, I'm turning pro again. I'm back.
I'm back. We got it.
I have two feels right now. One is an Instagram reel of Rory and Tiger about playing with a closed face and a strong grip. And
I've seen that video as well. Yeah.
And my other one is Hunter Mahan short game videos. And with those two, I'm hitting it so good right now. I don't need anything else. So
I can positively say that no one has ever said Hunter Mahan is helping my short game. I can, like, that's quite a turn of events in my golfing life for sure.
And understand that I'm saying this with like the greatest respect and acknowledgement for the skill gap that exists between you and I and the rest of amateurs that are listening and learning. But it was actually helpful for you to go into that lesson and do it in a way where it's not like you had it completely figured out. You're kind of learning and picking up things, but you're executing it at the highest possible level for someone who's picking things up. So then for me, when I'm trying to get all these feels, like, you know, releasing with the forearm, the hip. And I think for a lot of other people in my position that are, you know, whether they're mid single digit handicappers or, you know, higher than that, it makes it so digestible and usable. That sincerely, I know we're having a little bit of fun here, but sincerely,
keep at it.
Very
keep
helpful. At it. If you're listening out there and you're trying to fix your short game, go to Hunter's Instagram page right now. I promise it'll help. It was so good. So
Well, Charlie, I brought you in. I mean, we see the American flag as you got there. As we know, Hunter Mahan played in countless international teams, and we've been having a pretty big debate lately, Hunter. You know, the President's Cup is coming up soon. There's going to be a lot of picks that are going to be heavily debated on who should make the team, but also it's just the overall captaincy and how the organizations of both the Team USA for the Ryder Cup and also the President's Cup have been run. You've been inside the rooms, and Charlie, I think it's a pretty good person to ask about some of the debates that we've been having.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned 6-time PGA Tour winner. How about 7 national teams, 4 President's Cup teams, 3 Ryder Cup teams? I believe every team except for one between 2007 and 2014. And as we've talked about this, Hunter, more in the context the last couple of weeks of looking at young guys like Jackson Koivun, Michael Thorbjørnsen, you know, is there a way we can help develop our young talent, but also, to Smiley's point that he's made on the show, if you're Brant Snedeker and you're the captain of a United States President's Cup team, you're thinking about winning first and foremost. And so the idea that we kind of kicked around, that Smiley kind of put out there, is the idea of a U.S. national team that's overarching. I know you're pulling from the same player pool. You're largely pulling from the same set of captains. But if there was again, you're going back and forth between the PGA Tour and the PGA of America in terms of your points of contact and the people that you're working with on both those teams, you know, back-to-back years. What are your thoughts on the best way to construct a national team type of outfit that can both choose the best players on any given year, but also work on betting in and developing players so that, like, when we go on a road game next year to Adair Manor, if a Jackson Koivun or a Ryan Gerard or any number of guys has something they can show us this fall at Medina, we make sure that guy's on the team to go over to Ireland.
Well, there's a lot there.
Yes.
What you're talking about. It is the Ryder Cup is near and dear to my heart, unlike anything else. When I was a kid, I mean, people talk about winning majors and stuff. I wanted to be part of a Ryder Cup team. That was what I wanted to do. That was my dream. And luckily I was able to do that a few times and we were able to win. And that was unlike anything I've ever experienced. You said a lot there. I mean, there's always been talk. I remember when I was playing, there was a lot of talk about, you know, Europe was on a real rise and they were playing really, really well. And there was talk of they're more of a team than the US and all that stuff. And we never really bought into that. And that never really made sense to any of us because, to think that they were a better team or whatever, like it just didn't make sense to sort of who we were and sort of what we were about. But I would say like there's a confidence to the President's Cup team, and then nearly the talent that they played against is not up to the level of the European, right? And so they feel like they are two sort of different things, and the way that the international teams just aren't as strong as they sort of used to be, which is unfortunate because there's still a lot of really good players. And I think this year it is shaping up to be more competitive than I think people are going to think about or realize until it happens. I think guys are going to really believe this year. So I think that's going to be interesting in itself. I do think the Ryder Cup is a little different animal. It's hard to put into words. It's we just haven't figured out how to get our guys relaxed. Every year for the Ryder Cup, I don't think it's a player thing. I really don't. It's just, we just build it up in the wrong sort of way, right? Like, it's just, Europe has, they did a meet, you know, I've been at the last four commentating for the world feed, and it's been a lot of fun. Europe just makes it about the golf and how we can play our best. That's all they do. We seem to make it about our country and it, like too big. It becomes too big a thing. And it's like, we just got to bring it down. They play really relaxed. They work really hard that week on the greens. They always outputt us every time. They work really, really hard on the greens. I don't think that's something that I talked to guys part of the team, and they're like, you know, we're just playing, and it's, and we're not quite as focused on the greens and the aspect of using each other and figuring out how are we going to play our best this week in terms of, because we know where the pins are. The pins are not a secret, right? Europe studies so hard on those things, and they grind, and they really use the teamwork to feel like two guys are reading it, not during the day, but like beforehand. And so they've got a great grasp of what's coming, and they just make it about the golf. And you can tell when they get out there and playing, they're so relaxed. They're really just playing to win, and that's it. They're not playing to lose. They're just playing to win their match. And it just always feels like we bring like everybody with us in our country. It's just like too much now. You know, it's like the last one I was at, it was like everyone looked so tight on the tee, and they were like, they were trying so hard to get everyone involved and make the crowd crazy, make New York loud and everything. And then that trying so hard gets tense, and you can see it on their faces. Like nobody looked like themselves to me. Everybody looked tight. They were trying to be something they weren't, you know? And so I didn't see the joy and the happiness of just like, man, I get to go out play with this guy, you know, and we're gonna have a great time. The way Europe talks about it, we're like, there's like so many things we're trying to do out there. And it's just not, that's why, you know, it's one of the great lost things of me. I don't understand why, you know, Paul Azarin had one of the great Ryder Cups and we played so well. And we were underdogs for the first time ever. And he's never been asked to be a part of it in any way. It's just one of the things I don't understand. But we were so relaxed, and he was had such incredible energy all week. And he was just such a leader in terms of like, how much fun we're going to have. That's what he was concerned about. That's all he was concerned about. Everyone was so relaxed all week, and we just couldn't wait to go out and play. Then everything else has felt a little bit like it's just guys they're trying so hard to do so many things. And it's like, just go be yourself, work hard that week on those greens and figure them out. Cause it's going to come down to that. Everyone's going to hit it pretty good. Cause it seems like the last few Ryder Cups, they've tried to make the course a non-story and make it more fair for everyone, which I feel like is sort of taken away from the home field advantage. But it's like, man, we just don't, when those guys walk to the tee, I'm just like, I don't see who they are. I see who they're trying to be. And Europe just walks to there like, hey, we're just going to go play golf and have a great time because this guy's awesome and we're going to have fun. You know, they just don't look that stressed about it. They look like a great opportunity is on the horizon, and we look like, like we're gonna win, we gotta try hard. It's like you know, I'm kind of talking a lot, but like the best thing about it is like it's already an elevated event, it's already hard, and we seem to make it harder. And Europe's like, they know that it's hard, and they're just trying to bring Luke, tell me Luke's not just totally relaxed on the side. He's just like, well, it's just, you know, they're gonna go play and we feel great about our team, and he just sends this such a calming zone to us. And then everybody else is like, you know, there's a tension in the air. And it's like, you know, it's a very hard thing, though. Like what we're talking about, I feel like people are trying to find these easy answer. It's not an easy answer. It is challenging. But I just don't see like the guys taking a deep breath and just trying to play great golf. Just the simple nature of like the event's already there. You don't need to make it more than it already is. You know, it is what it is. And so your job is to bring it down to the bare minimum of the understanding of like, you're here just to play great golf because you're a great golfer and you've earned the right to be here. And we believe in you. Now you can get a little crazier, more like, hey, this course we're going to play is really narrow. So we need dudes to hit fairways. We can't, bombers are, you know, we can get into that later on into the course. But, you know, I think the general attitude should just be like, hey, man, this is hard. It's high intensity. Let's do everything we can to bring it down, pump our guys up because they're awesome and they're going to play awesome. And that's all we're going to focus on.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's interesting. There's a lot to unpack there that's of deep value. And I just wonder that, you know, if specifically you feel like a developmental year on the President's Cup side, like betting in some guys that are a little bit younger is a worthwhile venture. Yeah.
It helped me a lot.
Yeah.
It helped me a ton. Playing the President's Cup and then going to the Ryder Cup helped me a lot. Now, I'm not everybody. Just personally, just like that situation and being in the team room with guys the first time and then the second time is different. I don't know how Jackson might feel, you know, some of the youngers might feel comfortable with the guys already, so it's no big deal. But that is a weird thing. Like, I grew up watching Tiger and Phil, Stricker, all these guys. And all of a sudden, I'm in the room with them, and I'm their contemporaries, and I'm just right there, right? And so that was a shock the first time. Nicholas was our captain, right? Like, it's like...
That's so cool, man.
He called me on the phone and said, you're on the President's Cup team, right? It's like, head is... Like, just things you just... I couldn't imagine in my wildest dreams, right? And so that was a little bit of shock. The situation, just everything was like, my head was spinning all week, right? And so the next time I was there, man, I felt like I took a deep breath and I was in a much better place. Zinger was incredible for me. We talked a lot. He gave me so much confidence. Phil was amazing. Playing with Justin Leonard was a dream come true in so many ways. He was such a valiant leader and a great, he just was so... I mean, he didn't play in the afternoon on Saturday. I played with Phil and he walked, put his arm around me and says, hey, I'm going to be here every shot. If you need anything, I'm right here. And he just walked with us all day. And so if I ever need anything, he was just there. There was a presence about him, right? And that's invaluable to a guy like myself who was first time on the team playing Saturday afternoon with Phil in a huge, huge match. When we needed every point, right? We were underdogs, and it was just like, holy cow, what a situation, what a man to you know, put his arm around a young kid and be like, hey, I'm going to be here the whole round with you. If you need anything, I'm your guy, another coach, right? So amazing. And you know, I think sometimes guys don't know how to do that. Justin was very natural at that, you know. And sometimes we grow up a little more individualized and our, you know, our, it's not easy for guys to do that when you're competitors, but on the European side, it is much easier for them to do that, I think, because of the countryman mentality. And there's that lineage of Spanish players and Irish players and English players. There's just like, there's something to that, that we are, that's just not sort of who we are. We're a little bit more competitive. And they do a really good job of that, you know, and that's not an easy thing to like fake. That's authentic for on their side. And our side, it's harder to do that. But doesn't mean you can't do it. It doesn't mean that we can't go over there and win. Ireland's going to be tough. It's going to be rough.
They got the work cut out for them, man. And that's why I'm so interested in who's going to make this team, because I'd love to see some young...
I like your hands at, though. I like you thinking about it now. That's important.
I'd like to see some young guys on the team. Charlie's been screaming it from the rooftops. I've been explaining that a U.S. national team would make sense because of the PGA of America being the Ryder Cup, PGA Tour running the President's Cup. If you streamlined it a little bit more into one organization, and now that's the problem, is that you have different captains every year. But if there's some type of leadership that's passed on, that's like, hey, we either have camps for these guys at some point where in the off season, you know, all of these players that are possibilities that are young guys who haven't made teams, come feel like what it's going to be like in these settings, get to know what the locker room will be like. And it just kind of introduce them to what the team of being on a USA team would be like. Get some alternate shot going, get some best ball going, get that captain who's going to be there that year, just to see these guys and to get their personalities. Because when they finish the BMW championship, like, Sneds hasn't had enough time to really just vet these young guys to really know what their games are. Like, Sneds played with Koivun on Tuesday this week at Wyndham just to figure out, all right, what is this guy like? Is he going to fit into the locker room? Now, if you did all this stuff kind of in the off season, get all these possible players together. Now, I know you're not going to be able to get everybody, but wouldn't you think that'd be a pretty good idea, just to kind of like work on the culture of this team, that the captains might get to know some of these players they might not know?
Well, just remember, they, you know, in Rome, they had the tournament there, a European tournament there for a couple of years, and none of our players played it.
Yeah, none.
So, I mean, that's... And a lot of, almost all their guys played
JT
it.
Played and it, so, and JT probably played the best out of any of our guys that year.
Yeah, and so, sorry, JT. So, you just got to think, like, you hate to say they want it more than us, but like we just, I don't know if Zach's like, hey, you, we have to play. Like if you want to be on this team, you have to really play in that event because that is going to give you so much more understanding of a course and tournament conditions. And nobody played it. And those guys had, just think of all the rounds they had. They probably had 12 to 15 rounds on that course before anyone else. And they knew.
I'm thinking Paris is the one I'm thinking of.
Okay. So in Rome, like I'm fairly certain nobody played it.
Yeah, I don't think there was much history there. Yeah.
Right. And so you're playing a huge, huge event and they're going to have a huge, huge advantage because they know that course from a tournament perspective. Right. And so, and that was smart by them too, by the way, having it in Rome and having a place that they're probably like, hey, America's not coming over here. And so, you know, I don't know. Those guys need to get over there and play that course quite a bit in Ireland to kind of get used to that. So when they show up there, there's not a whole lot of learning. It's just sort of like, so they should have camps. If you're going to do a camp, it's over there. We're not doing like as soon as you can get over there, close to September as you can to get a sense of the feel of it, get over there, bring 24 guys, 30 guys, or however many you think have an opportunity and get on that course ASAP, right? I think if you're going to do a camp, do it there. Don't anything over here is just sort of a waste of time. That's why, you know, it's hard to have a captain. I'm always curious about having a captain who plays and who doesn't play. Like a guy like, you know, Furyk's would be interesting because he can be around a lot and talking to guys and watching the players and get a sense of the team. Sometimes, the analytics are funny and you know,
we talked about it last time, that's for sure.
Yeah, because it's so confusing to understand. You know, it's like Jeff Ogilvie, who I love, was like, you know, the U.S. had a plan. I remember watching it and like the plan just didn't work the Thursday morning, right? And alternate shot, we're like, well, I told the Wolfie guys, I go, well, you take that plan and you take that piece of paper and you crumple it up and you just throw it away because that didn't work at all. They had no juice, it was not working. And, you know, Jeff's like, it's easy to kind of do that and to wipe it away, but you want to be, you know, you just don't want to panic. And I understand that part, but it was like, if they lost one down, I understand that. But when you lose 4-3 and 5-4 and all that stuff, it's like, it's time to panic because you just got destroyed in your, you start over on that, right? Like, it doesn't matter anymore. Now you just got to get the best players out. But, you know, like Mike Tyson said, once you get hit in the mouth.
Yeah. Everyone's got a plan. It's like a punch in the face.
I guarantee you they had a great plan. I guarantee you Keegan was amazing. And then they got hit in the mouth and everybody was like, wow, now what do we do, right? Like, it's hard to adjust. That's why that thing is, it's way harder than people think. And it's like,
oh, yeah.
It's so challenging. You put so much time and effort into that. And then it just goes south so fast. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine how everyone in there feels because they know it, right? You're watching. You know, I watched it, you watched it, and it's just like, oh, this is. I remember walking that course that week, mm-hmm. and I just was like, this is not a good sign. I go, this is nothing. This has no teeth to it at all. Europe has to walk around and go, this is great. I mean,
Rory came up to me and said, this is Bethpage Pink. When they were playing their practice round.
Yes. It was why I'm just like, this is Europe's dream right here. You know, which is, I don't know why they keep, home field should matter. And I think guys should have just a little more juice. And I thought they did. And everyone was shocked how the course set up. I remember, I know Keegan, everybody on the whole US side was like, what? This is not what we talked about. So, but you got to play better. And that's at the end of the truth. But I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
And I mean, Jackson doesn't look scared at all. He's not a guy that I'm worried about. I think just the feel, like you said, locker room, beating the guys, being around one another. Most of these teams are pretty young. I think just getting familiarity. So that's not a part of it. When, you know, that's just one less variable to think about for him. And, you know, I love it. I don't hate it at all. I mean, he's proven himself, you know. We'll see the next year how he looks, but it's hard to not think that he's going to be a real weapon for the U.S. side.
All right, Hunter, we got a couple fun ones as we head out, and we got to get back to the Instagram videos because you're not the only person in this household that has been helping or that's been helped by Hunter Mahan videos, because I saw this video, all right, And I'm just going to play this without sound.
I haven't seen this yet.
This was so good. We did this drill. We were at the beach. We had that like game where you hit it into the like the Velcro thing.
Yeah.
And I was doing this with my son. He was 3 years old. And it was amazing how much it changed. It checked all the boxes that you were kind of illustrating. And so what I want to do now, Hunter, is we got a ton of dads listening to the show, a ton of moms listening to the show. Smiley and I both have two kids that are young. Just give us like your top three like collection of tips for dads trying to get their kids into golf you learned as you've taught your own kids.
So this was so funny because I completely did this on the fly. We were playing and I was watching my kids swing, and most of the kids, they're just not very strong. The clubs are heavy, right? And the club gets further away from you. It gets heavier and heavier and heavier. So I was like, just pick it up, get it up, and then turn, and then start from there. Feel like it's this way, because every kid, like my kids, we teach the middle school kids at school, they're dragging it inside. It's heavy or they just don't quite understand it. So it's like, well, just get it up first here around and then start, and then feel like the swing starts from there. Like pick a little bit of momentum, because when it gets inside, it's like your instinct is to get it over, right? And so if we can, you know, as I'm talking there, it's like if you can just pick it up and then turn, and then you're right there. You're right where you want to be, and then just go from there, right? And that's sort of what my feeling was, and just my idea was just get it up on your shoulder first.
And I need that for my own swing. I might just start doing that. That helps me get to here, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's something Foley did. He would kind of do it just, and then it's here, right? So if you're in here, what do you have to do? Well, you got to get wide, right? And so it's instinctually like I got to get out and then get it back down on the ball, right? And so it's a little bit like the chipping. If you start too far left, then you're gonna have to. And I like that because, you know, the backswing's hard. It's not an easy thing. It's like, what should I do? And I've gotten a lot of questions like, what's your backswing thought, right? And it's like, less thoughts sort of the better in a way. I like the left arm in here more than I like both arms. But for kids and stuff, it's just getting, I think, driver, and just usually it's finding the clubs that aren't too heavy. Because if it's too heavy, this club is swinging them and they're all over the place. But if you can just get them to like, you know, make the swing as simple as possible, right? And shorter clubs, the better. Start with the shorter stuff. Don't stay away from the big stuff, the drivers and stuff, and make sure the clubs and the kid are in right proportion to one another and sort of what they can do. And start close to the hole. Start putting. My daughter loves to putt because she wants to make it. I would start, get close to the ball, closer we get to the hole, start, so there's some like enjoyment right away and there's some satisfaction, because once a kid gets frustrated, they're out and they're going to be like, Dad, this stinks. I want to get in the car and get a snack.
Yeah, I was going to say the key is snacks. Above all else, snacks is the key. So
1,000,000%. Be prepared. Don't think you're going to be out there grinding.
All right, last question. All right, we're going to close the show. I'm going to be a debate moderator because we're going to do a little hypothetical here. I want to know which foursome wins this competition. The Golf Boys, Hunter, Ricky Fowler, Ben Crane, Bubba Watson, or the 2016 Spring Breakers, Smiley Kaufman, Ricky Fowler, Justin Thomas, Jordan Spieth. And can we have Ricky play a ball for both teams?
Sure.
Like what's that competition looking like? I just need each of you to make the case for your team so we can decide who's going to win this matchup.
Is this a now or is this a then when the video's made?
Let's do this. We can either do video made. Let's do, that's perfect. Let's do when the video is made. Everyone's kind of in their prime state of golf.
Yeah, it was pretty good state of golf, I think, for both of us. I would take our side. I think Ricky was younger, but Bubba was pretty awesome. He would be the best player between the two at the time. Justin, I don't think I would take Bubba against like Spieth, right? And I would go.
Well, here's the only thing that he's not factoring in one thing here. Justin.
What's that? Okay.
The only thing you're not factoring in here is that we're talking about the condition that we were in when we were playing that golf.
They have to play in swimsuits. The entire Smiley team has to play in swimsuits.
Oh my gosh. Well, okay. So that's a whole other thing.
So we have Kalik Light.
Not gonna lie. It was tight. It was straight from Goodwill, and it was like the reason it wasn't here is because it couldn't get there. And so I don't know how Ben Crane can swim and swing and what he was wearing. And Bubba was, maybe he was comfortable. He was in overalls, but. I would take our side for sure. I like our team.
I don't disagree. I do think that we were probably more hydrated. And I think we probably would have had more fun. That's just my take.
Yeah, no shoes on. So I guess I would rather play at your place. We'll go on the road and play you guys there.
Yeah.
That'd be all fun. Right. My boots are going to be terrible, more a Happy Gilmore style.
In a day of YouTube matches and creation, Charlie, I mean, can you imagine if the Golf Boys play the
this
SC Boys?
And blockbuster. Blockbuster.
We dust them.
I love it.
That'd be pretty fun. I know what's coming on my feed later. That's for sure.
It needs to be like you two playing a singles match, get Ben Crane, JT, Bubba Jordan, and then Ricky has to play himself. And then he plays two balls, and then player two flips what team he's on every hole. So the player two advantage, you know, yeah, to I make like it fair to balance like it. It out. Yeah, yeah.
Can you not just see the camera cutting over to Hunter and I? We're just over there on the side of the green, just kind of working on our feels, chipping.
Oh, for sure. We're giving each other lessons. Like, how do I look? Am I steep enough? How's my VSP?
We're just duffing, sculling him across the green. I'm sure.
I mean, like, alternate shot, boys. We're playing alternate shot today.
We also need a mobile changing room for Ricky, so he can go into his swimsuit, back into his golf boys outfit. You know, you got to get the whole switch back and forth, too.
Leather, yeah. He might be sweating like a beast in there if we're in the desert.
Yeah, you got to be careful with alternate shot. You're going to be playing the yellow, green, pink balls. Was he playing the Volvic that time, Bubba? Or was the Volvic ball?
This was good, Bubba. This was good, Bubba. No, he was able to.
Oh, man. All right, Hunter. This has been great, so man. Good. Just so much great stuff. I mean, just talking career with you, getting in to the nitty gritty with all of the technical stuff, the Ryder Cup discussions, and of course, a little bit of fun at the end. So this was one of my favorites, Hunter. We're going to have to do this again. And we are going to be following this comeback very closely. We look forward to watching it, buddy. Thanks.
Thank you. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
We'll see you next week on the Golf Channel. This has been The Smiley Show.
You know, I listen to this podcast. It's really cool. And
all of our lovely fans and subscribers, but make sure you like and subscribe.
It's cool to see what you guys are doing. I know golf fans appreciate it, but we do too. So please keep it up.
For all the good people of YouTube, like and subscribe.
You guys have some good takes, so I'm happy to come on and shoot the